Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to What Is Etiquette Anyway? The talk show where we are making this world a polite place to live, one person at a time. We cover topics ranging from acts of kindness to handling pet peeves. If you are listening live, call 347-324-3295. And here are your hosts, HR and customer service expert, Ms. Denise, an etiquette and image expert, speaker and author, also known as the Etiquette Lady, Ms. Donna.
Good evening, happy Sunday, and welcome to What is Etiquette Anyway? The talk show. Today is February 10th, 2013, and we are broadcasting live from Atlanta, Georgia. We're celebrating Black History Month and taking a look at a great act of kindness. We have a heartfelt story coming up you do not want to miss. I'm Ms. Donna, also known as the Etiquette Lady. And since the name of our show is What is Etiquette Anyway, we want to answer that question for you. After all, our audience is made up of listeners of all ages, and many of them are listening for the first time. So I would certainly like to welcome our new listeners to the What is Etiquette Anyway family. Well, the word etiquette comes from an old French word meaning ticket. It later came to mean a prescribed routine, especially of court behavior. Charles I and II of England copied the rules of etiquette from the French court, and these rules became requirements of behavior everywhere. And so if you don't necessarily remember the backstory, just please remember to mind your manners. Okay? Well, as I said, you are really in store for a really heartwarming story this evening. First of all, I want to give you our contact information. It is 347-324-3295, 347-324-3295. 3295, or you can just shoot us an email at etiquetteladies@gmail.com. That's etiquetteladies, plural, at gmail.com. Well, once again, this is Black History Month, the month of February, and to celebrate, we are taking a look at celebrating kindness. And our special guest is Ken Corley, who is the director of the nonprofit Wells of Hope International, Incorporated. And this organization helps to dig water wells in Africa, and that is just remarkable. Well, he wrote an article in hopes of finding and saluting the first African-American to integrate his high school. And you certainly don't want to miss that. Hi, Ken. How are you?
I'm doing great, and I appreciate the opportunity to be on your program.
Oh, it is just such a pleasure to have you. When I moved, you know, I was so moved when I read your article. I knew at that time that I wanted to invite you to be a guest on the show. And, of course, you know, during this very special month as we celebrate Black History Month, it would just be just so fitting. And in fact, when I came to the end of your article, I really wanted to read more, and it had ended.
So
congratulations. That is just such a wonderful, wonderful article. And, of course, if you would like, Ken, if you would just tell everyone just a little bit about yourself, we'll start there, and then we'll just kind of get into the article.
Well, presently, I'm a grandfather, and I'm married to Amanda, my wife of over 43 years. And so we're happily married, and we're involved in a number of different ventures, even though, like a lot of folks, we our future was freed up by our companies and our jobs. And so we've committed ourselves to giving these years of our life that are ahead to serving people and doing whatever God would have us to do. So this article and our thoughts and what we'll be talking about tonight is just a little reflection on kind of where our heart is and about people.
Certainly. And I was just so excited that I had an opportunity to read it. And our listeners, I know that I keep talking about a wonderful article and heartwarming. You all are going to have an opportunity to hear the article. And the article is titled, Myra Carter, Where Are You? In 1964, Dr. Martin Luther King won the Nobel Peace Prize. Nelson Mandela was sentenced to life in prison. Plans were announced for the World Trade Center. The Ford Mustang was formally introduced. The base price at that time was $2,368. How about that? And Viking football player Jim Marshall ran 66 yards in the wrong direction for a safety. These events reflected my world and some of America's preoccupations. The New World was peace-loving, people being honored, rights activists incarcerated, architects focusing on taller buildings, engineers creating unique cars, and America, perhaps like Marshall, running in the wrong direction. And, of course, your article goes on to say, my claim to fame was 5 years of perfect attendance at Fulton High School in Atlanta, Georgia. To be present every day for 5 years didn't necessarily mean that you were all there. We later discovered that to move ahead in life, you often needed to look back and understand the world that surrounded you. Fulton High School in 1959 was an all-white institution. The students, teachers, administration, rice, and socks were all white. If we saw black people, they were in the kitchen, on the janitorial staff, or at the bus stop. It was a feeling of us and them. In 1963, that all changed when Myra Carter arrived on the scene. The us and the them was now under the same roof. She was neatly dressed, wore her hair in a traditional beehive, and quietly attended classes. There appeared to be a little fanfare or disruption, but those were my observations, but certainly not hers. She was just there and alone. In the 1964 yearbook picture, honoring the Beta Club, Meyer can be seen sitting with a double space between her and the next student. Her experiences, feelings, and thoughts were unknown, and no one appeared to be asking. If I saw her at all, it was in the midst of other students running down the hallway to the next class. A fellow student recalled turning a corner and crashing into Meyer with her armload of books. He described how the books went in one direction and the two of them went in another. If civil rights, education, and voting opportunities for blacks were important, it wasn't affecting me. It would have to be a head-on collision and totally unexpected. My time was spent on important things like baseball, dating, Mustangs, and dealing with this. And I'm just going to pause there for a moment, Ken, while, you know, our listeners have an opportunity to absorb, the first part of the article. And if you are just joining us, you are listening to What is Etiquette Anyway, the talk show. We're celebrating Black History Month. Our special guest this evening is Ken Corley, and he's written an article that you're listening to. It's called Myra Carter, Where Are You? So at this point, Ken, what really prompted you to write the article?
Well, you know, you're going back over 40 years in my life to look at a time when I actually missed an opportunity to be kind. you know, the civil rights movement was really just getting cranked up in a big way and beginning to affect Atlanta. And I eventually, of course, left. I graduated, but I went to a Midwestern college, and I think that was probably one of the best things that happened to me because I was able to move out of this atmosphere and have a different experience as a kid who had grown up in the South. And as the article will say, I grew up between Custer and Confederate Avenue in southeast Atlanta, not too far from the old soldiers' home, which was the retirement location for Civil War veterans many years ago. The building had burnt. But anyway, it was steeped in a lot of Southern history and tradition. So getting out and away from that atmosphere and experiencing other people and other another geographical location was a good experience for me. I met the first black to come to our college, who now has a very big church in Chicago, Spencer Jones, and got acquainted with him. It's kind of interesting that college would be trying to reach people in Africa with their ministry outreach, but it was many years before, like in Spencer Jones's case, to be the first black to come to the college. But I left there with not knowing what I would be doing. I didn't feel comfortable in the pulpit, and I found myself going to New York with no invitation, just feeling that I wanted to be on the streets where things were happening and perhaps get involved in the inner city. But to cut a long story short, I joined up with a group of college students with Teen Challenge, working in the Bronx and Brooklyn and all over the city with drug addicts and starting preschools and living in the inner city. And I think that's when I began to be aware of blacks, Puerto Ricans, people of color, and other people, but very much like myself, that I ate at their table and played with their children and began to experience the other cultures. And my awareness began to be raised, you know, about some things I had missed and had misjudged. And that eventually brought me back to Atlanta, where I worked for 10 years as a probation officer, and one of my offices was across from Ebenezer Church on Auburn Avenue. Mm-hmm. And so it was a gradual evolution in my own thinking and in my own spirit, and I began to reflect on my past. And, you know, the name Myra Carter began to kind of come across my mind, and I began to think about her and began to think about the challenge, the boldness, and what that must have meant for a black to come to that school at that time, but also that she was a female and what that must have meant. So that was really the beginning right there. That was a cracking of the egg, so to speak, and my own conscience being raised about racial relations and people and just a lot of unknowns that I began to explore.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And for those persons out there listening that may not be familiar, I know we have listeners from around the country with Ebenezer Church that you mentioned. Of course, that is the home church of Dr. Martin Luther King, which is here in Atlanta, Georgia, as well. I'm going to kind of pick up from a little from where we left off in the article. I know you said where you had lived, which was Custard and Confederate Avenues. Mm-hmm. But you go on to say in the article, it says, to mistreat a black person or anyone else for that matter would have disappointed my strongly religious parents. To mistreat someone was one thing. To support their cause was another. We were taught to love, but not always how deeply or how broadly. To assist the cause of civil rights was never discussed or encouraged. The news stories of boycotts, protests, and especially riots only reinforced the reasoning to avoid those issues I chose to avoid. Benign neglect is a powerful force. It's one underlying cause of divorce. Many women will put up with an alcoholic husband who cheats on her and is a thief. She will endure meaningless conversations and daily unanswered questions. His back is more familiar than his face. Her silent cry is, tell me yes or tell me no, but don't ignore me. And it goes on to say that after years of this behavior, the conclusion becomes, I don't exist. His response may be, no harm done. Her reply, no good done either. There's a haunting feeling for many who grew up in the civil rights era. The prejudice, ignorance, and lack of leadership left many young people standing on the sidelines as observers. It was assumed that by doing no harm, we were exempt from the need to do good. On the other side, to be ignored, marginalized, and unheard can make one feel ghost-like. It's the feeling I don't exist. These ghosts haunt our marriages, communities, and workplace. And, of course, the article goes on to say what you just mentioned, that after you graduated, you attended the Assembly of God College, and that's when you met Spencer Jones, right?
Right. Yeah, you know, the whole issue of feeling comfortable that we have not been a part of the problem is deceptive. Mm-hmm. And I think what I had begun to experience was that, you know, that to be neutral and to sit on the sidelines and to just observe was not enough. I mean, when we talk about justice issues, it's one of the strong suits of the Old Testament where God calls for justice, and it's something that addresses our communities, it addresses our courts, it addresses our schools, it addresses the communities that we live in, that we are just people. Not that we're just justified before Him, but we have a responsibility to call for justice for those who do not have a voice.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, that's what's gotten us involved in Africa with the wells, that to give a voice to people who don't even have the privilege and the opportunity to have clean water. But that was part of my desire to become more active in the community, to become a probation officer, to move into the juvenile court system and be involved with families and young people. And so it's not enough just to be a silent observer, not to be causing harm, but, you know, we have to be willing to contribute in some way, whether it's raising our voice, whether it's giving, going, standing alongside of, being with people who are disenfranchised and who stand alone in a lot of different ways.
We have a couple messages for you, too. I'm going to get to those in just a minute. If you guys are just joining us, you are listening to What is Etiquette Anyway, the talk show. We are talking to Ken Corley. He wrote an article called Myra Carter, Where Are You? And this is during, we're speaking to him because it is Black History Month. And so we are talking about his experience with the first African-American that he went to school with at both high school and in college as well. And concluding with his article, it says, sitting at my desk writing this article and across the pond from my home is a Black family and we share the same last name. Did our grandparents or ancestors have a connection? Did my family own one of their family members? The thought cannot be dismissed with benign neglect. It's the crash in the hallway again with Myra. The books are everywhere, and two people sit staring blankly at each other. The ghosts are real. If the years could be relived, I might have asked Myra, how's your day going? Did you pass the test? What's it like to be the only Black person at Fulton High School? What do you plan to do when you graduate? That opportunity is gone, and she is gone. Today, I might also ask, Myra, were you ever honored for those 3 lonely years as the first Black female to attend Fulton High School? Were you recognized by your class, the NAACP, or church family? Did you ever share your story with a magazine, civic club, or among friends? You paved the way for the first Black teacher in 1967, and hundreds of Black students like yourself. You opened the door for future Fulton High School graduates, NFL football players David and Tracy Rocker, and boxing champion Evander Holyfield. Myra, you were heard as you continue to show up day after day and take your seat. I had perfect attendance, but it didn't change the entire school system. May I salute you for your courage and the determination to get off the floor, gather your books, and graduate with honors in 1965. The school has been torn down. The students are scattered, but the books are still open. Myra Carter, where are you? Wow. How amazing. Let me ask you this, Ken. I know you talked about how attending school with her impacted your life, but what were some of the observations that you had of the other students? What was that like?
You know, 40 years ago, it was primarily jokes and indifference.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, really just hands off, you know, let it be. I never really saw any hostility, you know, toward her, but mm-hmm. I could feel it and could pick up on the innuendos from time to time. I have had a chance to talk to some of my classmates at reunions and bring up the issue and bring her up and talk about it. And I feel that you could characterize it as respect. There's questions, you know, about her. Where is she? I did run into Evander Holyfield at a reunion, and he asked the same question. Where is she? The first black teacher that came to Fulton. I met her, and she says, well, where is she? So The echo out there is, Myra, where are you, was the way that I wanted to leave the article, because she represents so many that mm-hmm. have never been recognized and been, you know, articles written or monoliths, stones put out there, you know, with their name on it to recognize them. And so she represents a group of marginalized, disenfranchised people who have accomplished so much. And It's really their story. It's her story. It's not my story.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm just kind of shining a little light on it, but it's really Myra's story.
Sure. That's why, you know, I thought it was, you know, so remarkable that you did that. In fact, here is a, we have a message that says, Etiquette Lady, my name is Helen Johnson, and I was the first African-American to be hired by my company. I have since retired a number of years ago. I think it is great that Ken is speaking about this. I hope he finds Myra. I would have loved to have someone salute me because it was such a trying time in those days. God bless him. And she is from Mobile, Alabama.
Well, we salute her tonight.
Yeah, absolutely.
We salute
absolutely.
You tonight.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes, we do. So, you know, we as an, in fact, we're going to applaud her and Myra. You know, at this time, absolutely. Yeah, that is definitely remarkable. Let's see, here's another message that we received. It says, to your guest, Ken, did he ever say anything to Myra or defend her if and when he overheard someone teasing or making fun of her? And this comes from Jackson from Georgia.
No, I never did. I mean, it never crossed my mind.
Okay, let's see. Also, Ken, how do you think she felt? How do you think Myra felt during that time?
Well, you know, I can't speak for her, and I hope that whenever we can make the connection that she'll have a chance to come and to share her thoughts. And let me just say this for the sake of our listeners. I have found Myra. Her full name is actually Myra Carter Warner. And she's a graduate of Morehouse College. She's a mother, a grandmother, and a minister. And I think that when you get an opportunity, you know, if you choose to have her on, that she will be able to, you know, share her feelings. I do recall her saying that she never feared for her safety until the Kennedy assassination. And she walked into a room and she saw some disparaging remarks made on the board up front.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then she shared a few other things, you know, about her concerns. But I think she's kept a lot of this to herself, and I think it will be great at some point in time for her to be able to share her thoughts and her feelings. But I can't answer for her. I'm just
sure.
It's just coming from a standpoint of a person who is a silent observer, but silent no
sure.
more.
Wow. Well, Chuck Meyer, if you are out there listening, please contact us. I would love to have you come on this show. And you can, you know, just kind of offer your feelings and your comments. That would be so very enlightening. And any of our listeners out there that may be listening that, you knows how to contact her, please have her contact us. That would be just remarkable to be able to. I'd love to do a follow-up show and have her come on. That would be great. Well, one more question. What would you like, now that our listeners have had an opportunity to listen to your story, what would you like them to kind of gain or walk away with in just about a minute or so?
Well, you know, the Bible says that it says, "Be ye kind one to another,"
mm-hmm.
and how simple that is. I know Ravi Zachariah, the Christian apologist, says there's never a reason to be unkind
mm-hmm.
to people.
That's
kindness is something that's not expected many times
mm-hmm.
in our day-to-day activity, whether it's on the road, whether it's in the store. But an act of kindness, because it is so different from indifference, people's lack of recognizing people, it changes the atmosphere. I mean, just practice it sometime, walking through the grocery store, and when you approach the stranger and you make eye contact, just smile as you move along. I very rarely see a person not return the smile.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a simple little gift that we give unto other people.
Mm-hmm.
And then expect from others what you give to them. Do unto others as you would have them to do unto you.
That's right. That is the golden rule. We live by that on this show. And I'm so glad you mentioned that, because we always ask everyone to initiate an act of kindness. And we're going to run out of time here in just a little bit. For those of you who are listening to us live, we're going to run out of time in about 3 minutes, but you will be able to go back and listen to the archive of the show. Ken, I wanted to just share something that your wife shared with me, Amanda. Of course, today, since this week is Valentine's Day, we talked about making sure that we walk in love. That was one of our messages. But she gave me something that was just really, it was just wonderful. And I wanted to read that. First of all, I wanted to say, since this is the week of Valentine's Day, don't forget to demonstrate love, but don't allow yourself to be caught up in the commercialization of the holiday. And please don't stress out on what to purchase for someone, and don't be depressed because you think you don't have a sweetheart to make a purchase for, or anyone to give you a gift. And remember, as a bridegroom rejoices over his bride, so will your God rejoice over you. That comes from Isaiah 62:5. And I want to share something that Amanda gave to me. It says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? It is as it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God." And that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That comes from Romans 8:35-39, okay? And, of course, we remind you each week to please initiate a random act of kindness. Continue to tell your friends and family about our show. Never tire of loyalty and kindness. Hold these virtues tightly. Write them deep within your heart. That comes from Proverbs 3:3. Again, Ken, thank you so much for being our guest this evening. And I would just like to salute you for saluting Myra.
Well, thank you for letting me recognize my classmate, and I hope to be able to spend time with her and to get closer with her and her family. So thank you for letting me talk about Myra Carter.
Oh, it has certainly been my pleasure. Well, everyone, thanks again for spending time, part of your Sunday evening with us. We'll speak again next week. Good night, take care, and God bless.
You've been listening to What is Etiquette Anyway? The talk show. Don't forget to initiate a random act of kindness this week. Thanks for listening, and please join us again next week when we'll discuss another exciting topic.